The Israel Report with Rolene Marks for the latest information and the stories behind the news.
Rolene Marks, a very, very good morning to you. How are you?
Well, it is a good morning indeed, and I don't think a countdown has ever sounded so sweet. We are very, very blurry-eyed, but absolutely filled with pride and joy and just simcha this morning in Israel.
All right. So what are we talking about? We are talking about the fact that Israel launched a rocket or a spaceship to the moon. Now, I'm not a space person at all. I'm not drawn to space the way other people are. I think we've got enough to focus on down here. But that said, it's an incredible achievement.
It is an incredible achievement. If you consider that Israel, barely the size of New Jersey, becomes the fourth country after China, Russia, and the U.S. to hopefully land our unmanned spacecraft. It's a four-legged creature. It will hopefully land on the moon during this seven-week trip. And it's privately funded. In fact, it actually has a South African connection, mm-hmm. Howard. Maurice Kahn, who is a great philanthropist, has donated quite a large sum of money for this lunar lander. And, you know, I, like many people, am not terribly into science. In fact, science terrifies me. But it is so infectious here in Israel today. In fact, the last couple of days, that you can't help by being swept up into all this lunacy.
Yeah, it really is incredible. But is there something that Israel hopes to achieve by doing this? I mean, I'm assuming they're not just making sure that, the first shawarma or hummus is being sent to the moon. I'm sure there's more to it than that.
Well, we've sent this capsule, which is barely the size of a washing machine. Mm-hmm. And what it will do, it will circle the Earth in several loops until it's supposedly captured by lunar gravity. I mean, it really sounds like I'm au fait with space talk, mm-hmm. and I know what I'm talking about.
But you really don't, right?
What it hopes to do is to prove, I think it's the magnetic ability of the moon. And we have a huge team headed, from the Weizmann Center, headed and one of the technicians or engineers, his name is Lior Ezra. He will be the first to control. I mean, no pressure there. If we think we have a problem with drivers on our road, imagine, trying to control the spacecraft as it orbits the Earth. But he will be in full control. And he says, we've had a successful launch. We injected into a good orbit. But whatever that means, and if there's any problems, from here we'll be able to maneuver this little washing machine, four-legged sized creature around, and then hopefully once the capsule lands on the moon, it will be able to do a few experiments. One of the things they're hoping to prove is this magnetizing of lunar rocks. I just think we are all rocking at the moment. Apparently, rocks that were gathered by the Apollo missions were found to be magnetic. And apparently the moon's iron core does not generate a magnetic field like the Earth's does. So they're hoping to prove this. And I don't know anybody who's more excited than Apollo astronaut Buzz Aldrin. If you weren't feeling the love for the moon and for the lunar mission before, all you had to do was follow Buzz Aldrin on Twitter, and that would get you all excited. So I think he is an honorary Israeli for sure during this mission.
Yeah, absolutely. It really is incredible that was this the same? There was that disaster that happened, I think, around about a year ago when Elon Musk was last sending something into space and it blew up. Israel was involved in that. Was this the same project or is it something different?
I think this is a related project. Mm-hmm. Because the Bereshit, which is our little capsule, is hitching a ride on one of Elon Musk's SpaceX commercial space launches. So while no humans, no Richard Bransons, no other people have launched on one of Elon Musk's launches, we have managed to launch successfully. So it's there are ties, but I don't think it's the exact same project.
Okay, so certainly it'll, and it hopes to, we'll hopefully be seeing pictures as it goes along, I would imagine.
Oh, you can be sure. You can be sure that we are going to be tracking this very, very carefully. I mean, just the launch this morning was, you know, something quite spectacular. If you haven't seen it, it's up on the Times of Israel. You can watch the sites. There are various websites, including SpaceX, who are tracking the trajectory of, or try saying that early in the morning with only one cup of coffee in you, around the Earth. It is a joint venture between SpaceX, IL and Israel Aerospace Industries, and it's funded almost entirely by private donations. And this is where South African billionaire and philanthropist Maurice Kahn comes in. It's also sponsored by Sheldon and Miriam Adelson, Schusterman, and others. So some well-known names up there. I mean, if you're going to brand Howard, right, this is the opportunity.
Absolutely.
To brand.
I'm thinking it's more like a birthright to the moon.
it is birthright to the moon.
Clifford says, all good and well, but what benefits for us down here? Clifford, I think that is what Rolene is saying, is that they're doing all of these experiments. Hopefully that will add something, I guess, to the world of science.
Yeah, it's adding to the world of science. There may even be experiments on board that, you know, we're not privy to because maybe they are of a sensitive nature. But just in terms of a feat of achievement and technology and innovation, you know, this is Israel at our best. If you consider we are just 70 years old, with all the tremendous challenges we face in the region and surrounds, the fact that we are smaller than the Kruger National Park, you know, we can fit in quite comfortably, and we join these massive superpowers, Russia, China, the United States, who have a very, very long and enduring space programs, despite some tragedies. Here we are, this tiny little country that's making its mark. And I cannot even capture the feeling of excitement and joy. And you know what? I think it's also inspired a new generation of children to be interested in the sciences and in technology, because, you know, when you see achievements of this nature, it can't help but inspire you.
Absolutely right. Can we just talk for a moment about Hungary launching an Israel culture year?
Well, it's all about the positive news today. You know, we've had such a week this week with Poland. We've had such unexpected twists and turns as far as our elections are concerned. I mean, to me, it's panning out to be probably one of the most, if not the most exciting elections in recent Israeli history. But, you know, on the back of some very, very strained diplomatic ties with Poland, we see an improvement with our diplomatic ties with Hungary. And, you know, while there may be criticism for Orban, who is the Hungarian leader, you know, he is the far right, what we do know is that ties with Hungary are at a peak, and Budapest is very, very committed in winning over the Israeli public. You know, there's a lot of Israeli trips to Budapest. They're very, very affordable. A lot of Israelis love to head off there, and they've sent their operetta here, their ballet, their theater, their goulash, and they're hoping that Israel will reciprocate and send, you know, an insight or an experience into Israeli culture and food. And they have said that they are going to start with Israeli Culture Year. And they have Hungarian Culture Year in Israel for 2019, and they're hoping that we're going to have Israeli Culture Year for 2019 in Israel, I mean in Hungary. So that will be very, very exciting. So we're hoping that we will be sending our touring theater groups, dance groups, you know, our household names across to Hungary, our orchestras. And of course, I mean, how would we Jews? We wouldn't be able to do anything without food. Mm. So we're hoping to send our shawarmas and our falafels, if not into space, at least to Hungary.
Absolutely right. We've got a few moments left. Do you want to just give us a quick update as to what is going on in the world of politics in Israel with regard to the election? You mentioned before that it's certainly seeming like it's lining up to be one of the more significant or interesting elections that Israel has held for some time. Do you want to give us a very quick overview here?
Absolutely. Well, it's all about the alliances. You know, anybody who's watched a Game of Thrones knows that winter is coming and the alliances are being formed. I mean, Howard, I will get you to watch a Game of Thrones if you haven't yet. I will.
Well, I haven't yet. So you've still got to work on that one.
But Israel, you know, it's election season is coming and we are gearing up for probably one of the most exciting races in ages. So this, in fact, the last 2 days, we've seen almost an axis on two sides form. You know, the other day we had the far right Habayit Yehudi, what's left of Habayit Yehudi after its number one and two, Bennett and Shaked, left to form their own party, HaYemini HaChadash. I mean, I tell you, all these Hebrew words.
It's tripping off your tongue,
It's tripping my tongue up, I tell you. So they've formed their own party, which has left the remainder of Habayit HaYehudi, which many have predicted might not get the support they would like, or and the seats they would like, without forming alliances. And they formed with the far right Otzma and National Unity, much to the upset of the more moderates within the parties who have actually withdrawn. Then we have Avigdor Lieberman and his Yisrael Biteinu. He has launched his slate and his candidates, but it's unlikely that the former defense and foreign minister's party will perform very well, predicted, or at the polls saying maybe 4 or 5 seats if they're lucky. They're hoping for 8 or 9 seats. But the real juggernaut of alliances came just yesterday. Over the last, I'd say, 2 or so weeks, there've been rumors of talks between centrist to right party Yesh Atid and the newly formed Chosen LeYisrael, with former IDF chief Benny Gantz at the helm. That maybe they would merge, and if they merge, they could be the juggernaut that might push out Netanyahu and his ruling Likud. And polls are having it at the moment that they could get an estimated 36 seats, which is a massive win if they are able to pull this off. So yesterday they formed, I mean, it's, people are joking that the picture of Benny Gantz, his second Moshe Yaalon, with Yesh Atid's Yair Lapid and Gabi Ashkenazi, another former IDF chief who all the parties were schmoozing. They sent a picture out to announce their alliance, now called Kahol Levan, or Blue and White. And we were all joking, you know, is this the four horsemen of the apocalypse, or, you know, what's going on here? But very interesting times ahead. And, may the election games begin if they have not already.
Absolutely, and certainly it's a story that we'll be following very, very closely here at Chai FM. Rolene Marks, it remains for me to wish you a Shabbat Shalom, a peaceful and relaxing weekend. And, of course, we will catch you same time, same place next Friday. It is 8 o'clock.